on Annenberg Radio News.
There hasn't ever been a movement that's bridged these gaps between different ideologies like we're doing.
Occupy LA lacks a coherent top-down message, but organizers say that's the point. And today more people are joining the movement. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 18th, 2011. I'm Tiffany Brannon. Parents, teachers, and school employees have formed a coalition they're calling Occupy LAUSD. They're marching from City Hall to the Los Angeles Unified School District right now to protest budget cuts and layoffs. Our Rosalie Murphy is live at City Hall. Rosalie, what's going on there?
Hi, Tiffany. I'm standing right outside City Hall in Los Angeles. There is a group of about 40 people gathered on the steps right now, carrying Occupy LAUSD signs. They rescind the layoffs, tax the 1% banner. Many of them are they're members of UTLA, which is the United Teachers of Los Angeles, and they're wearing their red shirts. Others are just spectators or participants in Occupy LA, but they are just preparing to march to the Board of Education meeting that's also beginning at 4 p.m.
And what is the climate there? What is the general feeling of the event?
It's pretty laid back. It's pretty relaxed. Everyone is together making posters, making signs. They brought a few to carry, but most everyone made their own. Because it is a lot of teachers, and a lot of teachers who've been laid off or retired and been watching these layoffs. One woman, a librarian who was just laid off last month, told me that she doesn't really think anything's going to come out of today, anything's going to come out of this protest, but she just wants to air her frustration, and she feels a lot of frustration from the people in her situation, and they just want the Board of Education to know it and to hear it.
Well, Rosalie Murphy, thank you so much, and we'll come back to you later. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tiffany.
Teachers aren't the only ones dissatisfied with the LAUSD. United Way is presenting contract recommendations at the Board of Education meeting now. United Way and a coalition of parents and community organizations is calling on teachers and LAUSD to compromise. Taulin Kagan is director of communications for United Way. She says the county's graduation rate is evidence of a strained system.
It's no longer acceptable that 56% of our kids don't graduate high school on time at LAUSD. We need to make the changes so that the needs of students, but also that the needs of teachers are met as well.
The Don't Hold Us Back Coalition wants more public school choice in charter schools, which the teachers' union is fighting. The coalition also calling for new teacher evaluation methods and more principal involvement. The coalition hopes for a new teacher contract in the next 30 days. Some good news on the education front. Mayor Villaraigosa proudly unveiled a study of the LA's BEST program, an after-school program for elementary schools. Kids get a free after-school activities during the hours when the crime rises significantly. The study was conducted by UCLA's research center, known as CREST. Carla Robinson looked into the findings.
From the time the bell rings to the moment their parents collect them, elementary students in LA's BEST program are encouraged to both focus on schoolwork and have fun. Homework is mandatory, and they get help if they need it. But once it's done, there's sports, games, and art. The study found that students in the program did better academically in middle school, performed better on standardized tests, and were more likely to take algebra in eighth grade. Katherine Stringer is the Vice President of Communications and Public Affairs for LA's BEST.
This is very exciting for us because our program only serves elementary school, so we're finding that the effect of the program in elementary school outlasts the program and continues with students as they get into middle school.
Stringer said after-school programs provide a better environment, and these programs should be available to everyone.
All children deserve this kind of enrichment, not just those whose families can't afford it.
Denise Wang is a senior research associate at CREST, and she was the project director for the LA's BEST study. She said the program's effects continued through high school.
Over the years, we find that LA BEST participants have lower crime rate committed when we look at them into their high school years, and they have lower dropout rates.
Wang said the decrease in crime lowered the public cost for juvenile delinquency facilities, so much so that every dollar invested in the program meant a $2 return in lower crime expenses. Carla Robinson, Annenberg Radio News.
The County Board of Supervisors voted unanimously this afternoon to approve two plans to increase jail oversight. LA's jail system and Sheriff Lee Baca have been under fire for a string of reported abuse and misconduct. One plan would create a citizens' commission to investigate the complaints. The other would follow suggestions already made by an outside monitor. Those include getting rid of steel-toed shoes and heavy flashlights, and banning blows to the prisoners' heads. Surveillance cameras will also be installed within a month. Occupy LA is 3 weeks into its stint at City Hall, and ITS following is strong. The struggle now is learning how to talk to each other. Kyle Tabuenafoli continues his coverage of the protesters by looking at how Occupy LA keeps the movement moving in the right direction.
With Occupy LA, the press conference has yet to be mastered. And simple things, like when and where, Occupy is still grappling with how to get that information out there. There were two scheduled today. The big one moved a mile from its original spot half an hour before it was supposed to start, and the other, nixed, last minute. I showed up early to get the prime spot, but when I got there, no one. So, I went to the outreach leader, Evan Kaczynski. He hadn't heard a thing about any press conference. So we went to the media coordinator, Lisa Clapier. She was more lost than the both of us. The tent is full of computers, phones, random flyers. How could no one know there was a press conference today? I found the event eventually, and things from there were smooth. The news crews were there, the speakers were passionate. How does such a huge movement run on such little communication? It turns out, my frustration was typical for an outsider. This is just the way things work at Occupy LA.
And so while there are, you know, obvious contractions that happen in any community, yeah, it's about being solution finders instead of problem finders.
And that's
so,
the media coordinator, with your Lisa Clapier. You know, she's an optimist that the process will evolve. She argues that empires aren't built in a week, constitutions aren't written a day, and Occupy's message?
We haven't decided on that exactly yet, because there hasn't ever been a movement that's bridged these gaps between different ideologies like we're doing. You know, that has...
That's Evan Kaczynski, an outreach leader. He likes the craziness too, but with today's situation, he was hesitant to welcome the immigrant group onto Occupy's turf. With anyone seemingly jumping in to speak, and the press all a frenzy over it, the messages get muddled really easily. It'll be interesting then to see if month-old Occupy LA will be anything like it was born as. A loud group of happy campers, unjaded by sluggish progress and the onset of a cold fall. Kyle Tabuenafoli, Annenberg Radio News.
Get ready to drop, cover, and hold on Thursday. No, we can't predict an earthquake yet, but we do know that when's the Great California Shakeout will happen. And as Ellen Castor reports, the mayor wants you to take part.
At 10:20 on Thursday morning, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa will drop down to the floor of his office. On all fours, he will feel the ground shaking as he clasps his hands over his head. He will watch in horror as the photos hanging on the wall crash to the ground. He'll panic as the building sways back and forth, not knowing if he will be able to get out in time. 2 minutes later, the ground will finally stop shaking, and the mayor will proceed to carry out earthquake emergency procedures, checking for anyone in the office with injuries and accessing their emergency supply kit. There's just one thing. It's all make-believe. Today, the mayor urged Los Angeles to take part in the Great California Shakeout. He asks everyone to simulate an earthquake in an effort to learn, plan, and practice preparedness.
Now, rarely do we take the time to face the reality of the greatest natural disaster our region will face in a lifetime.
The mayor, along with 8 million other Californians, will participate in Thursday's drill, making it the largest earthquake drill in world history. It may seem like a dramatic production, but the mayor strongly believes that the simulation is important.
It's not a question of if an earthquake will happen, but rather when. A large magnitude earthquake is one of the largest looming threats over Southern California.
People are asked to create an emergency disaster plan with their families, build emergency supply kits, and practice what they will do when an earthquake strikes. First responders will be coordinating their own emergency response plan. Earthquake specialist Dr. Lucy Jones believes this teamwork is an essential part of the drill's goal.
We're all in this together. And the more that each one of us individually is ready for the earthquake, the better off our overall community will be, because the earthquake really is inevitable, but the disaster is not.
Dr. Jones and the mayor encourage everyone to take part this Thursday at 10:20 a.m. Ellen Castor, Annenberg Radio News.
It's finally starting to feel like fall. For the next few days, we'll have partly cloudy weather with cool nights. Tonight, the temperature will hover around 60 degrees, and tomorrow we'll reach a high of 79 degrees. On Thursday, expect a high of 70 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, why corporations and customers are falling hook, line, and sinker for sustainable fish. State worker Rose Gudili wants to send a message to people facing foreclosure. Don't give up. One West Bank foreclosed on her home in September. She fought back by staging protests and sit-ins at her own home. Smith Abondati has her own story.
Rose Gudili was the first one in her family to graduate from college and the first one to own a home. But Rose's triumph was short-lived. Her brother, who had contributed to covering household expenses, recently died. When she was just 2 weeks late on paying her mortgage to One West Bank, they refused to take the money. She and One West Bank spent over 2 years going back and forth with paperwork and loan modifications. They foreclosed her in March, and her eviction notice arrived in September. She refused to budge.
My stance was I was going to stay here, and I was going to wait till the sheriff to show up because I refused to leave my home.
SEIU, the Service Employee International Union Local 1000, offers foreclosure prevention workshops to prevent a situation like Rose's from happening. The classes discuss the policies and laws concerning foreclosures and loan modifications. Claudia Gambaro, who is a state employee and works at the SEIU Local 1000, was laid off in February of 2009. She, too, faced foreclosure, but learned through the nonprofit organization Hope Against Hope Now how to hold onto her home.
So, like so many people, I had to make a decision whether to walk away from the home, which I did not want to do, and end up with a foreclosure, or stay and fight and try to make it, which I decided I would do.
She now encourages people to take these classes so that she can help others. Rose was able to renegotiate with One West Bank and Fannie Mae.
They were finally speaking to me, and they worked out a loan modification where now I can keep the home and I could start making my payments, which is what I was basically wanting to do since day one.
Rose has advice for those in her situation. Do not walk away from your home, but fight for it. Smith Abundade, Annenberg Radio News.
Healthcare professionals are offering their expertise for free this weekend to thousands of uninsured Angelenos. But as Megan Suisse reports, these patients represent just a drop in the bucket compared to the overall need.
Nearly 5,000 people will descend on LA Sports Arena from Thursday to Sunday this week, not to see a game, but to see a doctor. Care Now is hosting its fourth large-scale healthcare clinic, but Donald Minnelli, Care Now's president and founder, would like to see the event become obsolete.
It's kind of an ad hoc solution to a problem that one hopes will go away eventually. You know, it's kind of a barn raising. It's kind of the community coming together to help people in great need.
More than 2 million people in L.A. County are uninsured, and another 2 million are on Medicaid. Shana Alex Lavarada of UCLA's Center for Health Policy Research says the clinic is a Band-Aid approach.
We need some extra Band-Aids to at least get us through some kind of initial period before healthcare reform will hopefully cover many of these uninsured people in a good health insurance program. But it's certainly not an ideal situation. We need something more sustainable. We need something that can actually be a system over time that can handle the capacity of the healthcare needs of the population of Los Angeles.
Nita Vaccaro, executive director of the Southside Coalition of Community Health Centers, says connecting people with a medical home where they can get regular services is essential.
You know, in a perfect world, eventually, I would like to see that we don't have a need for these episodic events. But right now, that need is so great, and the services that the clinics have are comprehensive but limited. You know, our clinics are doing the best that they can, but they've got lines around the block every morning with folks that are hoping to be able to get in and be seen if they didn't have an appointment.
Patients who need follow-up treatment will be connected with local clinics. Megan Suisse, Annenberg Radio News.
We've all heard corporations talk about how green or environmentally friendly they are, but what about actually putting their money where their mouths are? In a new initiative by Target Corporation and the nonprofit organization Fishwise, the retailing giant is promising freezers stocked with sustainable and traceable seafood by the year 2015. Today I spoke with Executive Director of Fishwise, Tobias Aguirre.
Target has really stepped up to the plate and is committing to be a responsible steward of our oceans. Like you stated, by 2015, all of their seafood will come from sustainable and traceable sources. So with a company of Target's size, that's an ambitious commitment, but we think it's achievable. We will be doing a thorough assessment of all the seafood that they sell, establishing priorities for the unsustainable species, and then developing work plans, working with their suppliers and producers and fishermen on the water to help improve those sources.
Why have companies such as Target and earlier this year Safeway become not just interested but active in the sustainability movement?
Well, you know, these are smart companies. They have an eye to what's happening in the oceans, which is, you know, in the last 35 years, the global catch of seafood has increased fivefold. So we're going to every end of the earth and working harder and harder to catch fish. The levels of wild capture fish have basically gone flat, even though we're working harder. So there's a problem in the ocean. These companies both want to be environmentally responsible, but they also want to have a long-term healthy seafood industry. And they want to have products on their shelves to serve to their guests. It's one of those important areas where it's both an environmental imperative, but just makes business sense.
Do you think the trend of commercial retailers and grocery store chains becoming more interested in things such as sustainability over a bottom line will continue?
Yeah, you know, it really has accelerated in the last few years. The majority of major retailers in North America have an environmental group. Many of those environmental groups have also joined together in something called the Conservation Alliance for Seafood Solutions, which is 16 of North America's leading marine conservation groups that all developed a common vision for sustainable seafood that we help share with retailers, give them a clear, practical framework that they can use to address seafood sustainability. We feel like that's a strong tool. A lot of these companies have stepped up to the plate. A lot of work remains to be done, but, you know, we're getting started.
What do you think the future of sustainable food looks like?
You know, it's a mix of different things. I think sourcing locally is going to be really important. Understanding carbon impact of the seafood that we source. A lot of scientific studies point to frozen seafood actually having a lower carbon footprint because it's being transported in large container ships as opposed to being flown, air freighted, fresh. So that's kind of an interesting new field of study, that frozen seafood can actually have less environmental impact. But I think, you know, there's a clear trend to consumers wanting more information about their products and being able to source things based on their values.
That was Tobias Aguirre, Executive Director of Fishwise. We check in with Lexi Cook to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
I'm Lexi Cook with some of the top stories tonight on ATVN. More than 1,000 Palestinian prisoners were released today in exchange for one Israeli soldier. Find out why Palestinians and Israelis were celebrating. Also tonight, new and shocking numbers from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And find out what Time magazine says the top 10 Halloween costumes are this year. All that and more tonight at 6 on ATVN.
Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Ariel Edwards Levy, Alex Norwick, and Solomon Fuentes. Emily Frost is our producer. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Tiffany Brannon.